Well, tonight, as I said, this is the fourth sermon that we're looking at in the Lord's Prayer, the fourth petition, the fourth request. And it's that one we find there in verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. And I think arguably this is the most neglected prayer request in the Lord's Prayer. And it's the one we're going to be looking at tonight. And I think it's the most neglected prayer request for people like us. People like us who live in a modern, affluent, materialistic, Western world. This is a hard prayer to pray, isn't it? We find it hard to pray because we find it hard to pray with sincerity, don't we? You see, we can go to Tesco or Lidl or Heron or Co-op and get all that we need, not just for a day, but for a week. And if we can't be bothered going to the shop ourselves, then we can always go online and get it delivered by somebody else. We can order a new kettle or a new frying pan or a new whatever on Amazon, and sometimes it will arrive on our doorstep the next day. We can call up the doctor first thing in the morning, and by the end of the day we can get an appointment. You're probably thinking to yourself, hopefully you get an appointment. We plan our lives in such a way that the thought of going without the essentials of life, that thought rarely crosses our minds. As I look back on my life, I don't think I've ever went without the essentials for even a day. Never mind more than that. Now, we all know that the cost of living has gone up. Many people in our country genuinely struggle. But still, most of us are well supplied, aren't we? And that can often spill over into presumption, can't it? Can often spill over into us expecting and demanding rather than praying and giving thanks. Expecting and demanding rather than praying and giving thanks. We live in what someone has called in an entitlement culture. So, coming to our Heavenly Father and praying, give us this day our daily bread, that's hard for us to pray. It's hard for us to pray with sincerity. It's hard for us to pray when our cupboards are full, when our Amazon order is on the way, and when we're waiting for the doctor to call us back. Our first thought is rarely, I must stop and pray the Lord's Prayer. And yet Jesus teaches his disciples to pray prayers like this. He teaches his disciples in all times and in all places to pray these words. And therefore that includes you and that includes me. And if he teaches us to pray it, then it's a good thing for us to pray, isn't it? Give us this day our daily bread. Now, as we've already seen in this series, we've looked at the first three petitions or the first three requests so far. As we've already seen in this prayer, God's prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is focused on God and his glory. Calvin calls it the first table of the Lord's Prayer, these first three requests. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. All of these requests are focused on God and what it means to glorify God in our lives. What it means to put him first in our lives. So the first priority of a disciple of Jesus is to come to our Heavenly Father through Christ, in the power of the Spirit, with the desire to glorify God. That's what Jesus has taught us so far with the first three requests in the Lord's Prayer. That's where all kingdom prayer begins. Our prayers ought always to be anchored on the glory of God. Our greatest desire in prayer ought to be to glorify God. John Stott says that this is the Christian way to pray, beginning with God and him being glorified. Now, we've noticed that over the last number of weeks as we've looked at those first three, that first table of prayer requests. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. A desire for God and God alone to be glorified. But that doesn't mean that God is some distant deity who is so high up there that he doesn't really care about our everyday needs and concerns. He is not a God like that. Yes, he's our Father in heaven, but he's also our Father who is close by. He cares about every area of our lives, even the most, what we might call mundane, ordinary things. Those things that we might think, well, I'll not bother God with that type of prayer request. See, there's no prayer too big or no prayer too small that we cannot bring to our loving Heavenly Father, that he won't hear and answer according to his will. We can cast all of our cares upon him, all of our cares, the Bible says. Why? Because he cares for us. He cares for us individually, and he cares for us at all times. And therefore we can bring anything to him, and we won't be bothering him. And he delights to hear from us, his children. We come as children to a loving Father. And that means we can bring anything to him. I love the words of Jesus a little bit later on in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 to 11. These are great, reassuring, comforting words, where Jesus says this: which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, Jesus says, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? A Father who delights to give good things to his children. Through faith in the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, we can freely and we can gladly approach our Father in prayer and ask him for the bread that we need. And that's what the second half of the Lord's Prayer is all about. The last three prayer requests, or Calvin's second table of the Lord's Prayer, they're all about our daily needs. Those things that we might be tempted to think, well, I'll not bother God with those type of prayer requests. He doesn't want to hear about all those things. They're ordinary things that I can take care of myself, not things that I need to bother God with. But Jesus says otherwise. These last three requests are all about our daily needs. What someone has called our daily need for food, our daily need for forgiveness, and our daily need for faith. And over the next few weeks, that's the needs that we'll look at. Our daily need for food, forgiveness, and faith. Again, Calvin puts it like this: our Lord first instructs us to seek the glory of God, and then points out in the second part what we ought to ask for ourselves. Our Lord first instructs us to seek the glory of God. That was the last three requests that we looked at. And then points out in the second place what we ought to ask for ourselves. But even these last three requests are focused on God, aren't they? They're focused on our Heavenly Father. It's not like we've left off glorifying God and now we can get on with praying and focusing on ourselves. No, even then, we're acknowledging that we're dependent upon the Lord for all things. And that's what we're going to discover tonight as we look at the first of these final three requests, praying for our own needs. We see very clearly that Jesus teaches us to ask for and acknowledge our Father's provision. We ask for and we acknowledge our Father's provision. That's the main point of tonight, and we're going to be breaking this request down into three points. Jesus teaches us to pray to our Heavenly Father. And what does he teach us to pray? Well, he teaches us to pray to our Heavenly Father and say, firstly, give, give. And you'll notice that very clearly in the verse. Give. Now, Joe's going to put up a picture for us now, a painting. And this painting on the wall behind me is by the Dutch artist Van Ostade. Van Ostade. It was painted in 1653. And it pictures a poor family praying before a meal. And the title of the painting is this: Saying Grace. Saying Grace. It captures it, doesn't it? It's saying grace. See, for centuries, followers of Jesus have prayed a very simple prayer before meals. And we often call it, even today, the grace. But why do we do that? Perhaps we do it just out of routine. But underneath that, very simply, we're acknowledging God's provision in our lives. We're acknowledging God's provision in our lives. Every meal is an opportunity for us to pray as Jesus has taught us to pray. Of course, it's very easy to pray, isn't it? Give us this day our daily bread, when we can see and we can smell that bread in front of us on the table. As I was preparing for this sermon the other day, I realised that I should take a break and put the sweet potatoes in the oven for dinner. And yet, because we're well off, we find this hard to pray, don't we? It's often one of those prayer requests that get skipped over. Many of our fellow Christians around the world, those who really do live in poverty, that they find it much easier to pray a prayer like this. And they probably find it easier to see the answers as well. And yet still all of us, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, whether we're well off or not so well off, all of us must acknowledge that the Lord is the giver of all good things. Say, to approach your Father and acknowledge all that He has given. And the scripture is full of this truth, isn't it? We can look back at Psalm 104 and verse 14, where it says, "You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart." The psalmist there acknowledges God's ultimate provision of all of these things. We jump into the New Testament letter of James, and we read in James chapter 1 and verse 17 that every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, is a provision of the Lord's. All that we are and all that we have, from the most mundane things, is from Him. Of course, He doesn't send it to us in a gift-wrapped box from heaven, the way an Amazon parcel might arrive at our doorstep. He doesn't send it to us in that way. No, He provides for us through what John Stott calls human means of production and distribution. And yet it would be presumptuous of us, wouldn't it, to think that Tesco or Amazon are gods. It would be presumptuous of us to think that we're self-made people who have what we have because we have earned it, because we are the ones who have worked hard for it. Jesus teaches us to recognize in prayer that from Him and to Him and through Him are all things, all things. That we're dependent upon the Lord for all things. Give. Give. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, whether we eat or whether we drink or whatever we do, we can do it all to the glory of God. And how do we do it to the glory of God? Well, by coming before Him in prayer as Jesus has taught us and recognizing that He is the giver. He is the giver. Every time we say the Lord's Prayer, every time we say grace, we're acknowledging the Lord's fatherly care of us. When we pray give, we're recognizing that our Heavenly Father is the ultimate giver of all that we are and all that we have, even the things on our table, and all that we take for granted. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So thank the Lord, and thank the Lord for all His love. That's what Jesus teaches us in the first word of this request. And even if there comes a time when we have to go without for whatever reason, we're so well off in our society that we find that type of time hard to imagine. But even if that time comes, for whatever reason, we can still thank the Lord. We can still trust in the Lord. We can be content with the even the very basics of life, which many of our fellow Christians have to make do with. Why? Because our greatest desire is to honour the Lord. If we have Jesus as our Saviour, if we have the bread of life as our greatest portion, then we can be content whatever comes our way. We can be content because our greatest desire is to honour and glorify the Lord. Give, give. So that's the first thing we acknowledge when we pray. Give us this day our daily bread. We acknowledge that our Father in heaven is the giver. Is the giver. Often something that we forget. Something we forget. But notice what else Jesus teaches us to pray. He says, give us this day, or give us today our daily bread. Give us today. Today, that's our second point. They say, don't they, that the more that we have, the more that we will want. The more that we have, the more that we will want. But you see, there's a problem with that. Because so quickly the gifts can become the God, and we're very quickly in trouble, aren't we? Inevitably, they will leave us feeling discontent, and they will leave us feeling anxious. And it's not surprising in our culture, where God has been largely sidelined, that there is a lot of discontentment and a lot of anxiety around. Why? Well, one of the reasons is because the gifts have been elevated to the status of God. And the inevitable consequences result. So although most people in our country have all that they need and more, all more than any generation before us have ever had, we have become an increasingly anxious society. And Jesus addresses that, doesn't he? He actually addresses that in a little bit more detail later on in Matthew chapter 6. Just follow along with me in verse 25. He says this, Matthew 6 and verse 25. He says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they are? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So Jesus expands on these words, or that one word today in the Lord's Prayer, with this further teaching. Jesus says to his disciples, you don't need to be discontent, you don't need to be anxious about tomorrow. Why? Well, because you can trust in your Father today. You can trust in your Father today. Don't miss the opportunity to trust in God today, Jesus says. And that's what Jesus teaches us to pray. Give us this day, or give us today. Give us today our daily bread. Jesus addresses that presumption and that sense of entitlement that we see all around us, and we often see in our own hearts. Some people think that Jesus has the words of Proverbs 30 verses 8 and 9 in his mind when he teaches us to pray like this. Proverbs 30 and verse 8 says this, remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Give us this day, give us today our daily bread. In that first century Middle Eastern culture, the typical practice was for women to get up very early in the morning and make a a kind of flatbread that they would feed the whole family with that day. It had to be eaten on that day, or it would become hard, become dry, and soon it would become inedible. Jesus no doubt has his own culture in mind. Of course, we can go to the supermarket at any time of the day and get the groceries not just for a day, but for a week. But even if our food is in the cupboard already, even if the overnight oats are already in the fridge, we can still acknowledge God's goodness to us today, right now. Again, John Calvin captures this well when he prays, "O Lord, since our life needs every day new supplies, may it please you to grant them to us without interruption." Another John Stott, puts it like this: Jesus wants his followers to be conscious of a day-to-day dependence. A day-to-day dependence. There's actually an alternative translation to this request in the Lord's Prayer, and some people actually think it should read like this: "Give us our bread for tomorrow. Give us our bread for tomorrow." And that makes sense if this prayer was prayed at night. And of course, we can pray this prayer at night, can't we? In other words, we come to the Lord, that the day is done, the Lord has provided for us that day, and we can pray that the Lord would meet our needs tomorrow as well. As we go to bed, as we sleep, as we get up in the morning, it is our prayer that the Lord would meet our needs for tomorrow. But whatever the right translation is, we're looking to our Father in heaven to provide for us. To provide for us now. To provide for us all that we need. Even if his provision is already in the cupboards. Give us today. Today. But thirdly, I think there's a question we need to ask. What specifically are we asking our Heavenly Father to give us? What are we asking our Heavenly Father to give us? Well, that's the third part of the request or the petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. As I said earlier, the Lord is not too big, or the Lord is not too busy to care about our everyday needs. He is our Heavenly Father. But he is a Father who is close by to us, his children. Nor is he a Father who only listens to us when we pray prayers that are loud or long or lavish. We've looked at that before in Matthew chapter 6. That's a faulty way to pray according to Jesus. Thinking that he'll hear us if we're loud enough or long enough or lavish enough in our prayers. No, he delights to hear the prayers of his children. All of our prayers, even those prayers for our everyday needs that we might think, what's the point in bothering God with those things? After all, it's already in the cupboard. But that's what Jesus teaches us to pray for. Not only for the bread in our bread bin, although it is that, but more generally for all of our daily needs. All of our daily needs. Now, Jesus doesn't teach us to pray for a catamaran or a coastal villa. No, he teaches us to pray for our needs, our daily needs, our physical needs, the necessities of life, if you like. All of the things that we depend upon to function in this world. Martin Luther was once asked what Jesus meant when he said, "Pray, give us this day our daily bread." And Luther said this. He said, "Pray for everything necessary for the preservation of life, like food, a healthy body, good weather, a house, home, wife, children, good government and peace, or daily needs, the essentials of life, the essentials for life to function in this fallen world. A healthy body, food, good weather, house, home, wife, children, good government and peace." And I think Luther gets it right. It's not just a narrow prayer for the food that we put in our mouths, but it's all of our daily needs, the essentials of life. Give us this day our daily bread. All that we need to function in this fallen world. So the Lord's Prayer is down to earth, isn't it? It's practical. So far we've looked at those big prayers, those grand prayers, where we're praying that God's name would be hallowed, that God's name would be made holy in our lives. That big prayer that his kingdom would come. His kingdom has come, is coming, and will come one day. That big prayer. Praying that his will would be done. The Lord invites us to come to him, our Heavenly Father, and pray big prayers. But he also invites us to come and bring our daily needs to him. It's a down-to-earth prayer. It's a practical prayer. We come to our Father in heaven. We recognize him as the giver of all good things. We don't come to him presumptuously with a sense of entitlement. We don't come to him just with big prayers, thinking that these lesser prayers are, what's the point in bothering him with them? We come to him with the thankfulness, asking for and acknowledging his provision in our lives every day. It's remarkable, isn't it, that our sovereign Father is concerned about us, so concerned about us that he is concerned about our daily needs. It's remarkable. But as we were thinking about this morning, it's also reassuring. Reassuring that our Father is concerned about us, concerned about every area of our lives. And because of that, that encourages us to pray. Rather than keeping our distance from him, we can go to him with anything. We can bring our daily needs to him. And he delights to hear from us. We have a loving Father who loves his children, who loves to hear from his children, and therefore we can pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. May the Lord take up his word and apply it to each of our lives, that we might live in more dependence and thankfulness and joy in him. Amen.